morning, church. Good to see lots of people in the house of God this morning. Mark's already stolen my first bit. Impact. Last week, Mark spoke about impact and the major point of serving as a church. And being in an impact group is helping all of us, I hope. And we're learning lots from our impact. And impact... Remember what the I is? We had it up earlier. Instruction in God's word. Hopefully we are grounded in God's word every day, looking at his word before we go to work or before we get up. Might even do it after our breakfast, but make sure that we're doing it each and every day. M, mobilising in ministry. Make sure that we are doing the right thing. And if we're not, pray that we will be doing some sort of ministry here. Praying with faith. Without faith, works is dead, isn't it? That's what it says in the Bible. Without faith, works is dead. Adoring Jesus with passionate worship. And this morning, thanks for the worship time this morning we had. It was really, really great. Caring for one another. It all helps. And telling others the good news. That's the main thing, telling others the good news. I wonder if you turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And it's on page 852 of the Church Bible. Hopefully we all know where Matthew is. And in my Bible, it's titled, Jesus Gives the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus gives the Beatitudes. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, the Beatitudes and what they are and how we should live them out in our daily lives. Okay, from verse 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify, your Father in heaven. Now, they're the Beatitudes. Now, this sermon was on the Mount. It's on the Mount. It says in the Word it was on a mountain, but it's actually on a mount near Capernaum. Capernaum, which is near on the shores of Lake Galilee. Now, I would imagine there would be lots of crowds there, where it says, doesn't it, in the Word, chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. And seeing the multitude, there was hundreds and hundreds of people there, I would imagine. So Jesus had to go up to speak to them. He couldn't be down because he wouldn't be able to see everybody. So there must have been a lot of people there to come and hear and see and hear what Jesus had to say. This sermon is thought to have lasted for days. For days. In fact, if you looked at each verse, you could get a sermon out of each part. It could go on for days and days. And it's the longest recorded sermon Jesus gave are the Beatitudes. I can imagine there was a lot of people there of all different types and different jobs. There must have been all sorts of people there, builders, lawyers, lots and lots of different people there, people in authority to come and hear what this person, Jesus, had to say. And it would have been a challenge for all who were listening. And Jesus proclaimed his attitude toward the law, position, authority, and money, and explained that they are not important in his kingdom. What really matters in all this is the obedience, faithful obedience from the heart. Faithful obedience from the heart. This would have spoken to the proud and legalistic religious leaders of the day. It would have brought them back to the messages of the Old Testament prophets who, like Jesus, taught that heartfelt obedience is more important than legalistic observance. What Jesus said should challenge us today. What we've just read this morning, it should challenge us now, this morning at 25 past 11. It should be challenging us. And we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes again in a moment. As the crowds were gathering, Jesus spoke to his disciples and giving them the Beatitudes. And this is what we're going to mainly focus on this morning, like I've just said. In the Beatitudes, Jesus describes to the disciples the traits that he is looking for in his followers. And that's me and you today, sitting here. I'm preaching to myself this morning as well as you, because we're all in the same boat together, as it were. We are all human, and we need to hear what God is saying through his words. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the Beatitudes again from verse 3. And I want this side to do the blessed, okay? And then I want this side, on the right-hand side, to respond. Okay, we're going to go down from verse 3 to verse 10. All right? So, this side first, on the left. We say it together. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen. So you'll see there that you've got two sides. And you didn't read, and they sort of contradict each other, don't they? You know, one says, you know, that Jesus began his sermon with the words that seemed to contradict each other. The Beatitudes, don't notice in the Beatitudes, it doesn't say, it doesn't promise laughter, doesn't promise pleasure or earthly prosperity. It's all to do for his kingdom. For Jesus, blessed means the experience of hope and joy. Each Beatitude tells us to be blessed. Blessed means more than happiness. And like I just said, blessed means the experience of hope and joy. To find joy, we need to follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. Now, there are four ways in which we can understand the Beatitudes. The first one is that they are a code of ethics. They're a code of ethics. Or in other words, code of morals, if you like, or something to follow. So the code of ethics to the disciples and should be a conduct to all believers. Secondly, they contrast kingdom values. Now, with kingdom values, they are eternal. Against world values, which we know are temporary. So it is kingdom values. They contrast the superficial faith of the Pharisees with the real faith Christ wants from us. They show how the Old Testament expectations will be fulfilled in the new kingdom. When we look at these Beatitudes, we can't pick and choose the ones that favour us. All of them favour all of us. We can't pick and choose the ones that we can't take any out. And it'd be good to learn these at some point. I'm not very good at learning things. It takes ages to learn things. Now, some people can pick it up and just gone. You know, they can pick it up really easy and learn the whole lot in one go. But even if we learnt one a day or one a week, 10 weeks, we'd have the whole lot. So let's try and learn them, and because they are good for us in our everyday walk, and they will impact us in our Christian living. God's way of living goes against the world's way, doesn't it? But we see this, you know. We need to live God's way and do what God wants us to do. And it's against the world's view, isn't it? Against the world's view. And people get upset if we don't follow the world's way. We need to be different. If we want to serve God, we must do and say what is strange to this world. And that really makes sense, really, does it? But as Christians, we should try and do it. For example, love when others hate. Awful word, really, isn't it? Hate. If someone hates us, we have to show them love. And it's almost unhuman, isn't it? And we're all in it together. You know, if someone hates us or is horrible to us, we have to be nice back to them. And, you know, you might grit your teeth, you know, tensed up. But it says there, love when others hate. Give when others take. Help when others abuse. You know, if we do this, then we are blessed. We are blessed. If people persecute us, we are blessed. If we're going through a hard time, whatever it may be, look to it as a blessing. Very hard to do, but look to it to be a blessing to you. You know, it's very hard, that is, and you think, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Why isn't this happening? This is, you know, and we're all human and we all have difficulties. But be blessed. Be blessed. You are blessed if you go through trials or when persecuted. Jesus said we must rejoice when persecuted. Verse 11, there it is. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It doesn't just say rejoice, it says rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. What a reward, eh? Even though we may struggle and we have to love others when people hate us, we will get our reward, as it says there in verse 11. We read in the Bible that a lot of people suffered for their beliefs. And throughout history, we have learned of those who have suffered as a result of their faith. Well, there's lots and lots in the Bible we could pull out there. But the two that came to my mind was Daniel in the lion's den. He was thrown into the lion's den for what he believed. And we all know the story. He came out unscathed. And Paul, Mark mentioned that last week, when Paul was thrown into prison and he was shackled up, what did he do? He didn't sit in the corner thinking, moping and, you know, forgiving himself. He was cheerful. He was singing praises to God, his King. And what happened? God came down and bam, he was free. So, Lots of people face persecution for their faith. And it still happens today here and around the world. People are persecuted for their faith. But they are blessed. They are a blessed people. And we here this morning are a blessed people. There's one thing you go out this door this morning is three simple words. You are blessed. Okay? You are blessed. If you don't think you're blessed, think about people who are suffering, and then it'll pull you up. I am blessed. You are blessed. This morning at 11:30. And we have a reward coming to us. We may not get that reward now, but what a reward that's going to be when we get to heaven, isn't it? Verse 12, again, I've just read it. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Four good reasons why it's good, and we must rejoice when persecuted. And I just said this could come in various ways. Firstly, it takes our eyes off of earthly rewards. Takes our eyes off of earthly rewards. This is what the Beatitudes are all about. Secondly, it strips away superficial belief. If we're going to follow Christ's example, our faith will not be superficial. We cannot play faith. And I hope that we're not doing that this morning. God forbid. Our faith will not be superficial. We've got so much to be blessed about, haven't we? Why would we have a superficial faith? It's exciting. It's exciting. Thirdly, it strengthens the faith of those who endure. We hear regularly many testimonies of people who have suffered. And doesn't it make you feel great when you hear these people, you know, whatever country they're from, and they've suffered big time? We haven't really suffered here, have we, really? When you think of how many people suffer around the world, and you hear of these people that are suffering, like in the literature we read in the back, at the back of the church there, we read some really horrendous stories where people have suffered for their faith. And it could come here, and it will come here. But we haven't suffered, really. We are blessed. We are a blessed people. Even in going through that difficulty you may be going through at the moment, be blessed. We are still blessed, even though we can't see the wood through the trees, as they say. We are still blessed. I'm the same as well. We all go through problems. I'm not preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself here as well as you this morning. And it is difficult, but we need to, like we mentioned earlier this morning, like Jim earlier said, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 13, what do we say there? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Quite a simple verse, really, isn't it? You are the salt of the earth. Immediately after the Beatitude, Jesus taught about salt and light, as you see in verse 13. If a season has no flavour, it has no value. When you go home for lunch in a minute, or whenever, you've got that nice roast potato sitting in your plate, and you put some salt on it, and it has no flavour, what's the point of putting it on there? There's no point in it at all, is there? As we learn through the Beatitudes, Christians should be different and not blend into the world around them. Like we always often say, we are of the world. Sorry, we are in the world, but not of the world. We are separate. We are separate. And if we are following that, people will see it. They will see it and want to know why. No? When I worked in the, when I was working in, because I work for myself now, but I remember years and years ago, and some of you might have told this before, I was born and, well, not born, brought up in a Christian home. And You know, I was working, and I worked with a load of guys in a machine shop, and they wanted me to do all the things they were doing. And I had to stand out. I stood out like a sore thumb because I wasn't getting involved in everything that they were doing. And they thought I was just nutty because I wasn't getting involved with what they were doing and swearing and all this, that and the other. And they were trying to make me swear. It was, you know, it was that bad. And no, just stood by my gun and that was it. I was different. I was picked out. I wasn't picked on, but I was, you know, alone. But God helps us. And through that, I was blessed. Blessed through that. So if you're struggling at work, fight the good fight. Fight the fight. Fight the good fight with all your might, as they say. Stand out. Stand out. Okay, stand out. We should affect others positively, just as that seasoning brings out the best flavour in that nice roast potato. Let us stand out. Let us stand out. Verse 13. Then we come on to verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen that. I don't know if you've ever been to a really, 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 really dark place. And then you are in the country somewhere, or it's really, really dark. If you look up into the sky, you can actually see where the cities are. Has anybody ever done that? Sure you have, yeah? You can actually see, you know, if you drive back from Horsham, say, back to Crawley at night and it's dark, you can look in the sky and you can see the lights of Crawley. A light cannot be hidden. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Its light can be seen for miles. And that's the light we should have on our face this morning. Okay? When we leave here, I hope we're going to not go out the doors depressed. I hope we're going to have a nice shiny face and shine as lights in this world. Now, if I was going to take you this afternoon into a cave, obviously there's no caves in Crawley, and you came with me, okay, and I gave you two of these, right? There's one there and there's one there, all right? See, one's big and one's small. But they both do the same thing, don't they? They both do the same thing. They're both torches. But if I was took you in the dark cave and where it's really, really dark, like I said, I don't know if anybody has ever been down. Anybody been down a really dark cave? Yeah? That's what dark is. And especially, and sometimes they flick the light out, don't they? This is how dark it is when they flick the light out. And you can't see anything. You close your eyes, even at night, you close your eyes and you still see a bit of daylight. But that is black as black as black. You close your eyes and it's the same as whether you've got your eyes open or closed. So it doesn't matter what torch I would take down that cave if Mark was to choose the big one. So there you go, Mark, you had the big one, and I'll have the tiny little one. All right? It doesn't matter what one you choose, but as long as they light. As long as they light. As long as they've got a bit of light, you know, who would choose that one, the big one? Well, of course you would, yeah, because it's going to be brighter. But if that's got no batteries in it, then it's hopeless, isn't it? But as long as they do the same job, but obviously one's bigger than the other. And we should be like these torches, shouldn't we? Not turned on, not turned off, but turned on, you know? I can't turn this one on because its battery's not on. So no good taking that down a cave, is it? But our light should always shine, just like that little torch, right? Obviously, we don't carry torches around with us, and my light shines. You know, we can, if we've got God in us, and Jesus is with us, and He's our, if He's in here, then people can see that we are different. They can see that this guy's different. You know, he doesn't do what I do. Why's that? And then we can tell them the good news. Tell them the good news. So it's not El. It's so that's a little illustration there. They do the same job, but we need to give out light. If we live for Christ, we should be different, and people who do not follow Christ will see something in us that is different. You know, we hide our light when we remain quiet, don't we? And we're all guilty of it. You know, we have so many opportunities to talk about Jesus, and then when you don't, you think, oh no, didn't shine my light there, blanked it out. When we go along with the crowd, we're not shining as lights. We need to shine as lights. We hide our faith. We're not shining as bright lights. Or we let sin dim our light. Or we don't believe, we don't live out the Beatitudes and ignore the needs of others. Be a beacon of truth and light, and let your light shine. Be a beacon of truth and let your light shine this morning. And you will be blessed. So, Jesus calls those who live out the traits blessed, because God has something special in store for them. The best example of each trait is found in Jesus himself. Though he was a human, he had the Beatitudes. The best example of each trait is found in Jesus himself. If our goal is to become like Jesus and be salt and light in the world, allow the Beatitudes to challenge the way we live each day and help us to be a people and a church of impact serving God. So, be blessed this morning. Read those Beatitudes in the week, Matthew 5. And also be a blessing to others. Amen.